So this morning, God like completely shifted plans on me. I had a message already typed up, ready to go, all my 3 points and everything. And then, you know how he does sometimes. I was like, really, God? Let me see what time. So cool. So we ran a little bit late doing some extra stuff. That's okay, because I don't know how far. I just jotted down some things that he was downloading this morning to me. We are still in the same vein of what we've been talking about the past, I guess, month and a half now, talking about intercession, and I feel like he's still there. He still wants us to talk about it. He still wants us to focus on seeking him and partnering with him in prayer. And do you guys remember, I'm as you guys kind of get to know how I teach, like I'm very practical teacher. Like if you can't make it real, if I can't like go out and like go do it right now, like I don't need theory. I want to know how to do the things of God. I want to know how to walk with God practically. So like that's where I teach from. So I like to talk about, you know, stuff that we've talked about in the past. So who was here last time? When I shared about the prophetic intercession, praying, partnering with God, was anybody here? Yeah, a couple of you guys. Yeah, and we kind of did that exercise. You guys remember where we were asking God to give us things to pray? Do you guys remember that? And then we got the women's reaching out to the neighborhood through the women. God was giving us strategy as we were partnering with Him to see heaven come here on earth, right? So how's that been going? Like, has anybody been trying that out? I know some of you guys already have been doing it. How's that been going? Like partnering with God, as you've been seeking God, has anybody been kind of putting this into practice? Like when they spend time with God, remember the, just a little review here. Do you guys remember the story, the Elisha and his servant, the different kind of, perspectives? Do you guys remember the story? Yeah. Yeah, so you know, just a little background. Elijah was hanging out in the city, and these armies came up against him. Right, one guy and his buddy, you know, and all these armies came and surrounded him. And his buddy, his servant, was like freaking out. Right, and Elijah was like, "Man, chill," you know. And he said, "God, open his eyes, help him to see what I'm seeing right now." And so he prayed for him. Remember, he opened his eyes. The guy could see the chariots and the army of angels of fire surrounding the enemy. And he was just like, whoa, you know. And you know, God took care of it, that whole situation. And, you know, we really need to train ourselves to pray and to intercede the way that Elijah was doing. Okay, because our natural tendency is always, I am tempted to this day that when I'm faced with a situation that needs prayer, I'm tempted to this day to try to figure it out with my brain and to observe what's going on in my natural senses and try to figure it out. How many of you guys been in like a prayer meeting or you're praying for somebody and somebody's like, man, I need God to do this in my life. And then all of a sudden this like, you get like interrogation like starts on, well, why are you doing this? Are you doing that? Blah, 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 you know, and like, you know what that speaks to me? You're trying to figure it out with your brain. Okay. You know, and it's okay. I mean, it's our natural tendency. The carnal mind always wants to do that. You know, am I the only one in here that does that? I've been walking with the Lord for what, 20 years now? And I still to this day am trying to like, I'm a fixer. I'm like, how can I fix this situation? This thing's impossible. How am I going to, you know, and I'm trying to work it out in my mind. And like, God's just like all along. And then I'm reminded, the Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. He reminds me, Paul, you're doing it again, trying to figure it out. Trying to use your brain to figure out things. Trying to figure out spiritual things with a natural tool. Your brain's awesome. Thank you, Lord, for your brain. But it was never designed to understand the things of the Spirit. You guys know, you understand that? Do I need 1 Corinthians chapter 2? What does it say that the mind, the person without the spirit, their mind sees spiritual things and thinks they're foolish? Okay? So that your brain is a tool, but really your renewed spirit, your born again spirit and the Holy Spirit uses this tool to have understanding, not the other way around. Does that make sense? A lot of times we have a situation, we try to figure it out, and then we try to spiritually fix it with using this starting here. Does that make sense? Yeah? You guys understand? Yeah. And so many times we have to train ourselves to stop doing that. There's awesome. I mean, not like we just beat ourselves up. We don't need to beat up ourselves up about, oh crap, I'm trying to figure this thing. There's nothing wrong with trying to figure stuff out. But if you're given an impossible situation, which we all are almost every day, people's lives, we need to train ourselves to first turn and like look from heaven's perspective. And remember, we talked about it last time that we're seated in heavenly places. We actually are living there right now. Whether you believe it or not, you're seated with Christ in heavenly places, even though your earthly natural body is here right now. I don't know. It's a mystery. I don't know how that happens. Is it the ladder, Jacob's ladder thing? I don't know. It's like being here, being there at the same time. You know, any quantum physicists here, you kind of figure all that stuff out. But no, really, that's where we are right now. So it's really as simply of just kind of like, and Travis and I were talking about this, like closing our natural senses, literally closing our eyes in the natural and opening them up where we are seated in heaven. Opening the eyes of our heart to see what God's doing, his perspective, his strategy, his plan, because he first and foremost, remember we talked about, first and foremost, he's all about relationship. He wants relationship, intimate, experiential relationship with you and I. The cross was the cost of that intimate relationship. He wanted it so badly that he endured the cross. The joy of you having intimate relationship with him, the joy set before him. I bet he was picturing Joshua. Joshua hadn't been born yet, but he was picturing his intimate fellowship and experiential fellowship with Joshua 2,000 years later, and it gave him joy to endure the cross. He did that for each one of us. So, first and foremost, relationship. Remember, this is all review. I'm sorry, guys. He wants intimate relationship with us. So he invites us to partner with him to see heaven on earth, his will, what's going on up in heaven where we're seated right now to happen here right now. Does that make sense? This is all review. You guys know this already. You probably heard this 500 times. That's okay. We need to hear this. I need to hear it. Like I said, every time I'm come up with an impossible situation, my brain goes, all right, how do I fix this? What can I do differently? What can I, you know? And I'm just like, all right, stop, brain, shut up already. Like, Lord, turn. I'm turning to you. I'm opening the eyes of my heart as I am seated with you. Jesus, like you're right next to me. I'm with you seated. What is your perspective? That sea of glass that's right in front of you, you see everything, the beginning, the end, everything. What are you seeing? What are you doing? Because I want to partner with you to see it come here. Does that make sense? So how's that been going? Have you guys been practicing that? Since, I don't know what, it's been a month now since we've been talking about it. You guys who are here, have you guys been practicing that in your personal life, in your prayer life? Yeah? You guys seen any cool stuff out of it? Seen any breakthrough? Yeah? No? You guys can share. It's okay. I mean, yeah? Okay. Well, keep doing it. Don't forget, when the enemy comes and tries to get you to figure it out with your own brain, tell him to shut up and open the eyes of your heart. All right, cool. So that's where we're at. And I feel like the Lord wants to continue to build on this thing. Specifically, who was here last week? Have you guys heard that? Yeah. Mary shared, Mary Kerr shared, and she shared this prophecy, Derek Prince prophecy. Yeah. You guys remember hearing that? Well, the Lord's been stirring that up. And me, he brought it back to memory this morning as I, you know, as he was like kind of saying, Paul, do something different. And I feel like for you guys who don't know what the Derek Prince word is about, it was in the 70s. Listen to the podcast. We had it on the podcast. We should like literally put it on our website. Like, I don't know, have some kind of like tab for prophetic words or something and for people all to read it, you know. But it's really the gist of it. Derek Prince was here back in the 70s and he got this word from the Lord that there was going to be a move of God in this area greater than the Welsh revival. Do you guys remember the Welsh revival? If you don't know anything about it, Google it. It's awesome. It changed the world. And anyways, that is an inheritance that we have here. And I feel like the Lord wants to kind of like highlight this, and he wants us to take his strategy and his plan and his purpose for this area, and he wants us to partner with him. And I feel like specifically, like the Lord was saying that he wants to, trying to put all these thoughts together that he was showing me this morning. So basically I was like, okay, Lord, how do you want us to partner? I was asking, you know, this morning, what do you want us to know? And I feel like specifically that he wants us to partner with him. He wants us to intercede and to see this thing come to pass. Specifically, a tool that he's given us to see this come to pass is worship. That worship is going to actually help birth this move of God here in our area. And he gave me the scriptures, Isaiah 42. I'm going to read a little bit of it. And I was like, wow, that sounds very similar to like the Derek Prince thing. So I'm going to go ahead and read it real quick. I'm starting in verse 6, Isaiah 42, verse 6. So if you want to turn to it, go for it. So it says, I am the Lord. So this is a messianic prophecy, you know, in context. But I believe this is actually a promise that is continuing through Jesus' coming, okay? Because it does talk about future, about his reign of his kingdom and what he's going to do. So it says, I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to God and declare his praise in the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout. Yes, he will raise a war cry. He will prevail against his enemies. So when I read that this morning, I was like, whoa, that's awesome. Who here lives on an island? Is there anybody who lives on an island? Anybody lived on Caroline Beach? Yeah, well, we used to. When we moved here, we moved to Carolina Beach. We were living on an island. I mean, come on now. He will declare his praise in the coastlands, over the coastlands. So this is, I feel like the Lord was highlighting this scripture because you've got to get this relationship here. Read verse 9. It says, behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Here's the relationship here. What's the next verse? sing to the Lord a new song. Do you see that here? He told you the new things that were coming. And our response is a song, a new song. And is it kind of, you guys seen that? It's a little weird there if you kind of over-spiritualize it, but there's a direct relationship with the prophetic, with God revealing to you what he wants to do, the prophetic, and a new song and worship. There's a direct correlation here. Specifically in context, the scripture is talking about Jesus. We know that, right? Hey, I'm doing a new thing. Jesus is coming. But there is a principle here that we can get in context that when that God, he's proclaiming a new thing and he wants us to partner with him with a new song. And then when we partner with him in a new song, what happens? What happens? Go ahead, read. What does it say? God speaks to us. We respond. He responds how? To our worship. He becomes as a mighty warrior. And what does he do? He prevails, right? Puts the axe. Is that it? He stirs up zeal, yeah? Are you guys getting this? It's real simple. He speaks to us. He shows us his secrets, his purposes for this area, for your life. This can be practical for anything, but I specifically believe he's speaking about the purposes of our area of Wilmington, of why God moved you here or why you were born here, okay? For this purpose, to partner with him to see a move of God. That's going to be greater than the Welsh revival. So the correlation here is real simple. God always talks simply, okay? But it's profound, simple yet profound, right? Holy Spirit revelation is simple yet profound. He's saying, I'm going to show you what I'm doing. You in response, a new song is going to birth out. You're going to partner with me in worship and a new song. And in response to your worship, I am going to come as a mighty man of war. And I'm going to destroy everything and anything that the enemy has been doing, the killing, the stealing, and the destroying. He's going to destroy. I mean, he's going to come and fight. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. Now, I know I wrote a song about Mighty Warrior, okay, but that's besides the point. But that is part of like what that is a side and a facet of God that I don't think we fully understand yet. God as a warrior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Hosts. Remember what Lord of Hosts means? You guys remember? We talked about it before. What does Lord of Hosts mean? What does hosts? Such a Christianese word. What? Angel army. He is the Lord of the angel armies. He is a warrior. Jesus is a warrior. David was an awesome picture, you know, and shadow of Jesus. Mighty warrior. All right. Isn't that cool? That's awesome. You know, I'll be honest, because I think most Christians, and I think even us, like myself, I've been walking with the Lord, you know, I said 20 years or something. We forget sometimes that singing a couple like simple songs, it actually is doing something eternal, something that's going to last forever. So many times we think of like, oh gosh, okay, I'm showing up. Let's just be real, right? This is the real section of like what you're really thinking. and so put away your churchy thoughts and your masks and stuff. When we come in Sunday morning, sometimes we're just kind of like, okay, here we go. Let's sing some songs here. Oh man, I'm not feeling this song. Gosh, man, you keep playing that song every Sunday. You know, man, I just can't engage. You know what that is? It's like your flesh. That is the enemy saying to you, you think those are your thoughts? Seriously, you think they're your thoughts? They're probably not. Those are thoughts that the enemy is wanting you to think are your thoughts. I'd say about 90% of the time. Sometimes they are your thoughts. But 90% of the time, it's the enemy. You know why he's sowing these lies to you? The father of lies is speaking lies over you over and over about worship. He's afraid of it. He is so afraid of the mighty warrior showing up and demolishing his kingdom. He trembles of Jesus coming on the scene. He is a coward. He is. You can puff him up if you want, but he was completely, the Bible says in Colossians, he was stripped of all authority. And Jesus is like, I'll take that back. And now Jesus is sharing that inheritance with us. That's why he wants, that's why your worship, whether you're the worship leader or not, is so important. Because you're a son, you're a daughter, this is your inheritance. So you don't have to be a worship leader. Just you opening your mouth, just you singing the song, the authority on your voice that Jesus took back from the enemy and is sharing with us is now doing things in the spirit that is changing things eternally. He's stripped of his power. I see him just like, have you ever seen like a chicken with all its feathers stripped off? It's sad looking, isn't it? Gosh, that's what I picture what the cross did to him. I mean, it stripped him. You know, what's the scripture? I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. That's what it says. It literally says the Greek there is all. It means in English, all, right? All of, I've given you authority to trample on all of the enemy's works. So this authority, that's why it's important. We have a responsibility, right? Travis shared before about the authority that God has given. If you haven't listened to that podcast, listen to it. It's fundamental of what we're doing here. You've got to understand we do have responsibility. And what you have and God has given you, it is powerful, whether you realize it or not. And most of the time we don't totally understand what we actually have yet. We're getting there. Holy Spirit is revealing it to us slowly. So that's why God wants us to partner with him. Otherwise, like, what time is it? All right. Otherwise, like one of the examples I felt like the Lord highlighted was the King Jehoshaphat example in 2 Chronicles 2. You guys know the story, but, you know, all these armies coming against Judah. And they're like, God, we don't know what to do. We're going to get demolished here. And they're praying, they're fasting. This prophet stands up and he shares. He's like, hey, we're supposed to worship God. Put the worshipers out front, you know, kind of deal. And so they did that. They sent the worshipers out. And then it says in scripture that God set up ambushes against the armies and they begin to hit each other and kill each other. And, you know, and they didn't even fight. They just worshiped the whole time. You know, and I feel like the Lord is saying, but we kind of read that story and we're just like, I don't know, like me, I like, God, that's cool you did that, but why did you do that? You know, I want to know his ways. I don't want to know just his acts. I want to know why he does what he does. I want to know what my father does, why he does it. And I feel like he was saying, it's the same thing that we've been kind of talking about. He wants to partner with us. He wanted to partner with the kingdom of Judah. He wanted to be their God. He wanted them to partner with him. Otherwise, why didn't God just like go out there and just send a whole angel army out there and just go, okay, don't touch Judah. I like Judah. You know, why didn't he do that? Because he's given us responsibility and authority. He wants to partner with us because first and foremost, in that partnership, first and foremost, the one thing he's after is relationship. He wants intimate relationship. When you do stuff with your daddy, you get to know your daddy. I do with all my kids all the time. I'm like, I'm constantly reminded. I feel like the Holy Spirit even like reminds me, like, Paul, take Annabelle with you to go do this. Have her, you know, she's going to like, you're building that heart connection with her. Guess what? Our Father in heaven, he does the same thing with us. He's building that intimate relationship with us because that's what he's after. He knows everything's going to come out of that. So I know I sound like a broken record with that, and I probably have been for the past 10 years teaching the same thing, but I will continue to teach this thing because that's the number one thing the enemy tries to steal from us. So first and foremost, he wants that relationship. He wanted that relationship with King Jehoshaphat in the kingdom of Judah, and he partnered with them because he set it up for us to have responsibility to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, let's turn to Acts 16, and I'll try to wrap this up here. So this is the story here of Paul and Silas in prison. I feel like the Lord kind of highlighted this too. This is kind of a picture of what happens when we worship together with him and we sing a new song. All right, the crowd rose up together against him. This is verse 22. The crowd rose up against them. So they're in Macedonia, I believe, and, you know, God told them to go there, right? And they go there, and everybody freaks out, right? The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their clothes off them and proceeded to order them be beaten with rods. And when they had struck them with many blows, I love that scripture. They were beaten with many blows, and it's not... they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Remember that right there. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. Does this remind you of another scripture we just read? Isaiah 42, what does it say? Verse 7, he's going to come to open the blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I'm doing a new thing. And I'm going to tell you what this new thing is so you can partner with me and you can actually sing it in a prophetic new song, and you're going to release the warrior. The ultimate warrior. You guys ever watch WWF? It's like, ooh, the ultimate warrior. Who was that? Randy Macho Man or something? He talked like that. Yeah, Randy Macho Man. He's like, ooh, I'm going to get you. I love, the ultimate warrior was my favorite WWF wrestler. Anybody else there out there? You know, he became a Christian. This is a total side note. Yeah, he became a Christian. He died, but he became a Christian before he died. That was awesome. I was like, yes, Lord, ultimate warrior. Anyway, if you don't know the Ultimate Warrior, Google him. The dude was like massive. He was crazy. Anyway, Lord, where were we? Yeah, so you're going to release the Ultimate Warrior, okay? You're going to release the Lord. You're not going to release. He's going to partner with you, and he's going to release the angel armies, the resources of heaven that have been given to us, right? What's that scripture about all the spiritual resources and inheritance? Man, it's been given to us. Ephesians 2, the eyes of your heart might be open that you may understand what has been freely given to you, right? And that inheritance, the resources of heaven that are waiting to be released. They're waiting on you and me to open our mouth, to open your mouth. I have like a whole other message on this about the authority in your voice. You have authority on your voice as the world was spoken into being by the voice of the Lord. God's also given you authority on your voice. I don't necessarily to create a universe, but to partner with the creator of the universe. Does that make sense? And we can do that in our worship. It just confound that whole scripture about how worship can change things. It really does mess with my brain. My analytical brain wants to be like, what? Singing songs does what? No, can't do that. No. We're singing Kumbaya and God should, what? No. I mean, seriously, some of these songs we sing, they're so simple and it's like, man, it confounds my brain, you know, but God does it. The simple things. I want to share this real quick. I think I might share with one or two of you about this before. This just kind of like encourage you guys. Man, we could go so far, so many different directions. I'm trying to ask the Lord, where are we supposed to go with this? But I feel like he wants me to share this. I have it on here. Anybody here familiar with the Argentinian, is that how you say it? The Argentinian revival in the 1950s. Anybody heard of that? Yeah, some of you guys? There was a major revival that took place. An American missionary actually came, was called to Argentina. He shows up, nothing's happening. I mean, it was like deader than a doornail. I mean, it was, and he was having one of those moments. I think we all have those moments. God, why'd you send me here? You're not doing anything. What am I here? I thought you told me to come here and there's nothing going on. Okay, maybe it's just me. No, but I think we all go through that, you know? And he was having one of those moments. And he was just seeking the Lord. And the Lord said, after a while, seeking the Lord, start having a prayer meeting. Just have a prayer meeting. And so they had this prayer meeting, and like four people showed up. It was all his church. Only four people showed up. And during, God has such a sense of humor. During these, they probably were like the worst prayer meetings you'd ever could be in. He said nobody even prayed. It was like him. He prayed and everybody else just kind of sat there and he kind of described the people and stuff. Talk about getting discouraged. I mean, like, you know, you got four people just kind of sitting there either staring at you or just, I don't know, feeling guilty because, you know, well, I guess God, he told me to come here. I guess I should come. Or I don't know. Who knows why they were there? All right. So they go again and they have it a couple times. So, and then something happened. Okay. One of the women that was there, she had this thing. He would ask after every prayer meeting, he'd be like, hey, you guys getting anything? I mean, the Lord showing you anything? And everybody's just kind of like, well, nah, nah. And then this one time, the lady was like, well, I have this weird feeling that we're supposed to go walk around that table and knock on it. You know? So, like, picture this now. Oh, here's a table right here. All right, here's a table. And she's like, yeah, that table over there, I feel like we're supposed to go around it and then like knock on it. All right, like picture this now, all right? Now, everybody in that prayer meeting was probably just kind of like, this girl is nuts. What is up with her? She's one of those weird spiritual people, get kind of weird prophetic. Hey, let's go walk around the parking lot like Jericho and, you know, proclaim. She's one of those weird people, right? This prophetic intercessors, right? I'm kidding there, right? Because, but yeah, so she comes out and she finally says it. She's like, yeah, I think I just keep getting this weird sensation. I'm supposed to go, we're supposed to walk around this thing. And the guy was, I bet he was just kind of like, we've tried everything. Let's just, well, fine, let's do it. Let's walk around. So he and the other, I think three, like started walking around, knocking on it. Nothing was happening. And then I think he was like, well, you got the thing. Why don't you walk around and knock on it, you know? I know this sounds crazy, okay? But read it. There's like, this is documented. I'm going to read to you what he saw his firsthand. So when her hand, her speaking of the lady had that rub, you know, knock on the table thing, when her hand hit the table, immediately it was like a rushing wind swept through the room from one corner to the opposite corner. In seconds, the retiring, timid servant lass was on her feet, worshiping the Lord in great ecstasy. Her hands were raised in the air, and her face was transformed. She radiated the joy and glory of the Lord as she spoke in an unknown language. The backslidden, rebellious man, this is one of the other prayer group members, who had consistently resisted the call of God over his life, fell under the table and there began to worship the Lord in another tongue as the Spirit gave utterance. His young, reluctant wife, that was the other one there, seeing what was taking place with the others, cried out in a loud voice, all timidity now gone. I too, Lord, please don't pass me by. She feared that the Spirit would not bless her. However, in but moments, the river of the Holy Spirit flowed upon her and immersed her in the glory of his presence, and she broke forth in a strange tongue. We did not realize it at the time, but that day was the beginning of the coming of the Holy Spirit, not only to us, but the whole of Argentina. It began as an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that would in time reach out to the farthest corners of that great country. This is documented. It changed Argentina. Seriously, isn't that crazy? Isn't God, he's just crazy. He's crazy to our carnal mind. That's right. Knocking on the table. What in the world, Lord? Now, this isn't like something, now we need to go do this, go home and start knocking on tables. No, it has nothing to do with knocking on tables. Nothing. It has totally to do with partnering with what he is doing. And she understood and comprehended God speaking to her by this feeling, this urge. You know, I'll be honest, sometimes I get this prophetic relationship. It's not like this angel like speaks to me, this little, like I can see him talking to me. It's sometimes I have an urge about something and I share it and I'm like, wow, that was an urge. And then like transform a person's life, like simple prophetic word. Is it, so hopefully this is like stirring you guys up, because I feel like this is what, this is a strategy for us here, you know? Travis, can you share what you, those dreams, are you okay sharing those dreams that you're having?
I had a dream, I think it was Friday night. How many are familiar with the Morning Star worship movement, really, that took place in the middle to late 90s? Anybody? Okay, one, two, three, four, a little bit. It was pretty powerful. Which a lot of the worship movement that you see now going on with Bethel and a bunch of other places, it really, as far as I know, it that prophetic worship being released was started in Morningstar. And we were meeting in a little cabin, and Don Potter started coming. And there were three people, Don Potter, Leonard Jones, and Matthew Donovan, who were they were the main worship leaders. Susie came at Susie Wills at the time. She's Yari now. But anyhow, there was a profound worship movement that took place. One of the conferences after the worship was over, a cloud appeared in the meeting. And it's just amazing stuff going on. But I had this dream that I came in the church, and when I came in, Josh Newton was in the back, and I was looked up front, and I'm like, and the worship was already going on, so the service had started. I looked at Josh, and I'm like, kind of pointing at him, are you not playing up there? And he's like, uh-uh. And I looked up, and there was two people up here. The drummer was out front, and he had, which I think is prophetic, and he had a mic. But then as I looked back and I looked again, Matthew Donovan was up there leading worship on the thing, and he was playing an old Morningstar song called Fly Me Like the Wind. But it was updated. It wasn't, you could tell that he had tweaked it, but it was the same song, but it had been tweaked. But I was like, oh my gosh, that is so powerful. And my sister was coming in, and I knew that, and I knew that she would just be overjoyed at the redemption, because there was a feeling of redemption that there was a restoration that was being done. And when she came in, I was pointing it out, and she was, you know, over the moon, you know, and it was just, but when I woke up from this experience, I felt like the Lord was saying that he was, oh, I'm just telling you what I felt. Felt like the Lord was saying that he was restoring a movement that had not been completed at Morningstar. And he's doing it here. And so I guess you can go back to Charlotte and tell him I said that. there is a movement in worship that movement was one of the most powerful movements. I mean, I was in it, and it was incredible what was going on. But it really did get cut off short. It did not fulfill. I don't feel like it was done with what God was doing. And I felt like there was some things that got. But the Lord is bringing a restoration of what was started back then, and he's bringing it back. And I think it's the beginning of what Paul's talking about this worship. That was one of two worship dreams that I've had over the weekend. So the Lord was really highlighting this. And then Paul came in this morning and felt this on his heart. So
this is so cool. I know I was leading worship this week, and there's a song, I mean, from the second song, There Is But One Name. I've been working on it, and I felt like the Lord was like telling me to do it this Sunday, but it wasn't done. Like, I don't know if you noticed, there was only one verse. And I was like, Lord, all right, I'm going to get away with you at Thanksgiving. I'm going to write a second verse. It's going to be powerful. Didn't get a second verse. The Lord says, do the song. I'm like, it's not complete, Lord. I was like, do the song. Like, I was like, okay, I'm going to get here. The worship team's going to come up with some sporadic, awesome two verses. Second verse. No second verse. Like, Lord, you want me to sing a new song that's not complete? What? We do it. Thank you, Lord. And I feel like the Lord is saying, your song might not be complete, but sing it anyway. You might think, oh gosh, I'm going to wait for this thing to play itself out, and then I'll sing it. He's like, no, sing your song anyway. Allow him to come in on your broken, unfinished song. He'll be the one that completes whatever was started.
Amen. And you know, the new song is, you were speaking, this is really good stuff, by the way. Every single one of you is called to sing. According to the Bible, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Okay? Psalms 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, there's more to praise and worship than just a song, but there is something that I just felt like the Lord wanted to tell us. You're called to sing even if you don't think you sound good. You're called to release something that no one else can release because it comes from you. It's God coming through you. And so the Lord's called us all to sing, and we have to get over ourselves and begin to release what God's, because God wants to release something through us. So I don't know if you were done, but man, this is important. We got to get this, and it's the prophetic, that new song. You know, Psalms 40 says, starts talking about the Lord rescuing us, and he's pulling us out of the mire, and he's setting our feet upon a rock. And it says, and he put in me a new song, and I sang a new song, and many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. There's a prophecy you need to look up called the Sons of Thunder. It's a prophecy that really has had some fulfillment, but not the degree that God wants to. And it's the relationship between the Lord moving on worship and the prophetic song that's being released that would actually open up a door of evangelism that was going to sweep the earth. And it was called the Sons of Thunder prophecy. It's by James Ryle. He released it. It's a true word. I've had numerous dreams about this. The Lord wants to release this worshiping new song. And that's what the verse says in Psalms 40. Sing a new song. I sang a new song, and many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. There's something on that new song that actually opens the door for evangelism in a way, because people are going to see this thing being released through this new song. And so, I mean, that's just so powerful.
No, I mean, that's pretty much, I mean, gosh, we could go in so many different avenues with this, but, you know, real simply put, I think we need to like do some training, some teaching about this. You know, a lot of times the prophetic song workshop at conferences, only worship leaders go to, but you know what? I think everybody needs to go there. And I think we need to learn. It's really pretty easy, actually. You basically, and I encourage you guys. Oh, yeah, Bob
Jones used to sing prophetically, and if that man could sing prophetically a new song, I'm telling you, there was an incredible prophetic anointing on Bob, but he was no singer. But he sung a new song, and so if he can do it, anybody can do it.
That's right on. If you haven't ever heard Bob, If you're ever discouraged about singing the prophetic song, listen to Bob Jones sing a song. I'm serious. But I mean, it was powerful, but he's not a singer. I'll tell you that. But he is.
That's right.
You know, because, you know, God's not actually looking for the most gifted. He's not looking for the perfect. He's not looking for the polished. He's looking for the obedient. He's looking for the lovers of Jesus, the intimate lovers of Jesus who want to partner with him and obedient, just step out and be, just go around, do the silly things, knock on the wood. You know, I remember one Sunday, Holy Spirit has been like giving us little pockets and tastes, you know. I'm going to pick on you on this one. So I remember, do you guys remember that one Sunday when like Holy Spirit kind of showed up during worship and like, I think you, Josh, you and Travis were boo-hooing up here or whatever. Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, the Holy Spirit hits me, I start boo-hooing too. So anyway, I noticed something. I was up here playing bass and I was just kind of watching, you know, and just watching with my natural eyes, but also in the spirit, kind of trying to, you know. And I noticed, and I'm going to pick on Mary here. There's two things that happened that I noticed, and I felt like the Lord said it was their obedience, simple act of obedience that released the warrior, the ultimate warrior. It was Josh. He came, he was like sitting in the back or whatever. He came up front and all he did, I just saw him. He just stood there with his, you know, big hands, like standing like that, you know. And then I saw Mary do some weird thing. Not picking on you or whatever, but you were sitting over here and you just like kind of walked. I was like, what is Mary doing? Like she's doing this like circle thing. She's going walking in circle or whatever. And as soon as she came back down, boom, it opened up. I mean, people were like, he boo-hooing up here, you know? And I was like, God, and you know, of course, I'm like, God, what's going on here, you know? And I'm like, you know, I want to know his ways, you know? And he was saying, you know, it was the simple act of obedience of Josh and Mary going around doing something silly.
Guys, Joshua was the one that circled Jericho. He was the one that took them into the land. But it was Mary who Jesus said chose the best part, and she worshiped at his feet.
All right. Thank you, Lord. So thank you, Mary. Thank you, Josh, for your simple obedience. Because just like Paul and Silas, their worship, their simple obedience, it overflowed and it set captives free. So don't ever think that what you have is not good enough. You are basically saying, Jesus, what you did on the cross wasn't enough. Don't ever be that arrogant. I know we don't think that when we, but you really are saying that. What you did wasn't enough. I'm still nobody. No. What he did on the cross has transformed you to partner with him to see the kingdom of God released here on earth as it is in heaven. So thank you guys. And that's why it's so important when we get together. There's a different, I know we're going over the, gosh, but there's a difference between you and your prayer closet with your guitar and the Lord. And when we get together and there's a power. I mean, my prayer time with the Lord, I love it. It's powerful. It's awesome. But when I get together with you guys here, and we can experience a different level, a different facet of it. We begin to experience God in different ways too. And it's not just the worship leader up here or our pastor here giving us the, it's everybody here contributing and partnering with God together. We all reap the benefit of that. Our city is going to begin to reap the benefit of that. When we come together in one song, when we come with that new song, and we're praying, we're singing what he's doing in heaven. Anyway. Amen.
Yeah, if we're just one, sometimes some of y'all are just one new song away from getting set free. What does that mean? You got to release it. Just one quick announcement, guys. Thank you. This was powerful. We need to hear this. We need to go deeper in this, and we don't have enough time today to really unpackage this the way the Lord's breathing on this, but this is really good, really powerful. We're in the beginning of something God's trying to do. He's trying to release something. This Welsh revival word is a word from the Lord. That was the word that Jesse found when she started cleaning out the office, and the Lord's clearly speaking that this is the way.
Do you remember that? Like King Josiah, when he was little, he was searching the word of the Lord. He was reading all the scripture, and he found a scripture about him.
So he read about himself in the scripture.
He read about himself. And the Lord, he began to partner with the Lord to see. That's a prophetic. When you spoke, I always think about King Josiah when you share that story about you finding the word of the Lord. It's about us. This is something that, like, this is a purpose that God wants to do here. Okay, I need to give you.
Yeah, amen.